is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Tom Jossen and Bill Rajove, senior fellows of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. They and their colleagues keep the Long War Journal, a chronicle, an analysis of the vast canvas of the Ummah and the jihadist operating across several continents. We begin, however, with the news from Afghanistan. Though the U.S. and its allies have departed Afghanistan, the crisis is bigger than ever. This is headlines in these last hours from London. As sanctions bite, Afghanistan edges towards famine. Nearly 9 million people, reads the subhead, are close to starvation, surpassing even Syria and Yemen, the UN Food Agency warns. This conjoins with reporting from Kabul by the Daily Telegraph, pointing out that not only are people without daily confidence of food security, but that also the hospital system, the main hospital for people in Kabul, has collapsed. There was a photograph of three infants in one incubator, another photograph of a mother who herself was clearly under the weather, maybe starving, holding the hand of one of her children in a bed in one direction, and an infant on what appeared to be a feeding tube in the other part of the bed. This is a catastrophe. I'm seeing that the EU is paying attention to it. I know the UN has. But we're looking at evidence that the Taliban is not a government. We also have reason to believe the banking system, such as it is, collapsing. So, gentlemen, we have concentrated on war fighting. At what point does it become obvious? I think it's we've passed that point, that the Taliban is not a government, was never fighting to become a government. They are a gang. Their job is murder, homicide. And what we can imagine now, the concerns of the, Afghanistan becoming a staging area for more ahead, that does not account for 9 million people now at the edge of starvation and the rest of the population that could be come winter. Tom, your thoughts on these things and the Taliban making noise that the U.S. Congress has to pass it money. There's no reason to believe that any money given the Taliban will go to feeding the Afghanistan people. Good evening to you, Tom.
Good evening, John. You know, John, I testified before the Senate Banking Committee about this several weeks ago. And the point that I made and that several other witnesses made was that if the U.S. or its allies want to help the Afghan people, then it should explore opportunities when it comes to sort of non-fungible hard foodstuffs, you know, things that are not easy to be basically translated into cash or sold for cash. And the reason for that is that nobody trusts the Taliban, of course, to use any money it's given or anything that it can be easily turned into cash to do what's right here to take care of the people. Now, John, I think that they're, you know, the Taliban absolutely fought for 20 years alongside al-Qaeda to resurrect the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. They want a government. They want to be a regime. They want to be respected. They want to function as a government. They inherited all the problems that they helped unleash, ironically enough, inside Afghanistan against the Afghan government. You know, they spent, you know, 20 years undermining the Afghan government. Well, all the problems that they helped sow. Now, the Afghan government had all of its own problems, of course, but all of those problems have been compounded and new problems that were created by the Taliban, al-Qaeda. They now own that as a government, as a regime. So these are really problems that they're going to have to figure out how to solve if they want to maintain a hold on Afghanistan. And I would just say finally, you know, there are other bad actors in the world that supported the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan, either rhetorically or otherwise. And we're very quick to have diplomacy with them and even float the idea of recognizing, including the Chinese, the Iranians, the Pakistanis, and even the Russians, you know, leaders of the Taliban. Those parties, you know, if this is their regime, if this is a government that, and a regime that they want to recognize, they should be willing to deal with them and give them aid. It's not up to the U.S. to do that after all these years.
Bill, I recall the reporting that you did just a week past of appointments in the government of provinces in Afghanistan. Two prominent jihadists. One was the Haqqani network, Haqqani families, I recall. Another man who has been responsible for murder and mayhem for many decades, and he was presumed dead. Neither of those men seemed fit to worry about famine, hospital collapse, and banking collapse. Is that a fair summary of these characters, Bill?
Good evening, John. Yeah, and so, look, the Taliban wants to have a government, but their idea of what a government, what's important to them, isn't necessarily what's important to us or even the Afghan people. The Taliban's number one priority is enforcing its harsh version of Sharia or Islamic law. That's what it deems to be important. That's what it deems or that's what it believes is the most important thing it can provide to the Afghan people to ensure they're living properly under Islamic law. And if that means people have to starve or be poor or, you know, not have medical care, those are secondary or tertiary things for the Taliban. And so I think once we understand that, we can understand why these types of things are happening. The Taliban just don't care about those would be nice to haves. They'd like to have that money from the banks. They would certainly want the international community to provide aid to fund their government. But at the end of the day, as long as it's ruling and imposing its version of Sharia, that's all it really cares about.
Tom, the Associated Press last week passed this item on that Foreign Minister Amir Khan Muttaqi of Afghanistan, the Taliban, said in a statement posted online that the frozen assets in the U.S. are harming the public from the health sector to education and other services. His comments came a day after the World Food Program warned that millions of people in Afghanistan are facing poverty. So what the Taliban is doing is accusing the U.S. of being the cause for the collapse of the infrastructure, which is far-fetched and at the same time credible to our enemies and our adversaries. I add this. The United Nations pushed for urgent action to prop up Afghanistan's banks, warning that a spike in people unable to repay loans, lower deposits, and a cash liquidity crunch could cause the financial system to collapse. That is, that the money that is barely useful now outside the country would not be useful inside the country. Tom, we're entertaining the possibility of a country that's just going to fail, that the lights are going to go out, that they won't be able to maintain this. Is that credible to you, Tom, that this is not a North Korean model? This is not a Syrian model. This is something entirely new, a non-governed state that just simply fails.
I think it's pretty early to say that, John. I mean, remember, you're still only just about just over three months after the fall of Kabul. I think the Taliban is still trying to get its government fully entrenched in different areas, and it has inherited all these different problems. But, you know, when it comes to the money at the banks, you know, the Taliban is acting like this is their money or this is just Afghanistan's money. But remember, the U.S. taxpayer spent hundreds of billions of dollars on Afghanistan through the last 20 years. A lot of the money that flowed through the Afghan government was very largely supported by donor money, including by the U.S. government. This was not exactly money that the Taliban earned or something for humanitarian purposes. This was most likely money that came out of American coffers and that was ultimately, you know, basically American taxpayers paid for. There's no reason to give this money to the Taliban to do whatever they want with it when we know we can't trust them in any way. That's why I think the issue keeps coming back to trying to find if the U.S. and its allies are going to insist on providing some sort of support in Afghanistan for the Afghan people. One, they should look at NGOs and demand that the Taliban let them work through NGOs to do so. And two, it should be in the form of medicine and supplies and food and stuff that's not easily can't be easily traded for cash.
Tom Jocelyn and Bill Raggio are senior fellows, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. They keep the Long War Journal. ISIS is in the land. Reuters tells us that ISIS is now operating in all 34 provinces in Afghanistan, but it's non-transparent. We cannot know. We do know that ISIS is in the world. And when we come back, a report at Long War Journal about ISIS activity in Uganda, in East Africa. There's also reason to believe that ISIS is prospering in Nigeria. It's coming holiday time, Christmas time, and ISIS is a threat, especially now. We've seen the pattern in the past. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.